Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel of John and chapter 14. The Gospel of John and the chapter 14. Let us turn now to the Word of God for our instruction. I'm going to read verses 1 to 11 of John chapter 14. Come, let us hear God's holy, infallible Word. The words of our Lord Jesus. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him. And have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but of the Father that dwelleth in me. He doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sake. Amen. Thus far the reading of God's holy, sacred word, and we pray that he will bless it to us in this place this evening. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we do give thanks for this opportunity for the young people, and Lord, indeed, for my own soul, to come and to feed our souls upon the words of the incarnate God, God come in the flesh, Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray that thou wouldst come and speak to our hearts tonight and show us, Lord, the truth, just as Thomas had questions and doubts. O Lord, may there be no doubts in our minds tonight. For these are eternal and weighty matters that bear great significance, eternal significance upon our never-dying souls. O Lord, do come and speak thy word into our hearts. We pray through the Lord Jesus Christ's name. Amen. But dear young people, please, if you would open your Bibles to that portion of God's Word that I read in your hearing just a few moments ago. As you know, if you've been with us during these times, over the last 6 months at least, I have been going through the seven great I Am statements of the Lord Jesus Christ, which we find in the Gospel according to John. The seven great I Am statements are found, and here tonight we come now to the sixth, and it is found in the verse 6 of John 14 here, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And as I've said before, the Gospel of John contains all of these seven great I am statements. Let me just go over them very briefly. Remember when he said in John 6, verse 35, I am the bread of life. In John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world. In John 11:25, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door of the sheep, John 10:7. I am the good shepherd, John 10:11. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here, John 14 in the verse 6. And then finally, we will read in John 15:1, I am the true vine. So all of these great I am statements are found in the book of John, in the Gospel of John. And every time he makes that claim, he supports how he is those things. And I want to also remind you that when he says, I am, as we saw in the passage in John chapter 8, when he stood before the Jews, he said, before Abraham was, I am. He is not just giving us a subject and a verb, I am, but he is actually also claiming that he is God. And this is one of the names of God, I am, I exist, I always have existed. Back in Exodus chapter 3 and the verse 14, God said to Moses, go and tell the people, I am, has sent you. So the Lord Jesus is God manifest in the flesh, and he is all of these wonderful, powerful things. And we are to embrace them with our hearts, because if we reject these great I am statements, there are huge consequences in the life to come. There is no other name under heaven whereby we may be saved. It is only through the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the bread of life, who is the good shepherd, who is the door, who is the way, the truth, and the life, who is the manna, who is the bread that has come down from heaven to save sinful people like you and I. And it is only through him and his work that he came to do and successfully did for sinners that we can have everlasting life. And this is the great unchanging God. God who always was. Before Abraham was, Jesus Christ was. But when he came into this world, he took on human flesh. God was manifest in the flesh, but he still retained his divinity. The very self-existent creator of the universe comes and makes the way of heaven for his people. And that's the great subject here tonight. I am, have a look with me at the verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And dear young people, as we've gone through these already now 6 great I am statements, we ought to feel the great weight and the crescendo of all of these statements culminating here in this great statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Here the Lord Jesus, in the next few hours, is going to die on the cross. Soon he will go with his disciples to the garden, and he will pray there, and he will pray to the Father, and great sweat drops of blood shall pour out from him, for he shall know and shall begin to contemplate the horrific punishment that he shall bear for his people there on the cross, as he looks into that cup of God's wrath. Now, tonight, these verses, what is the setting of these verses? As I said already, in the next few hours, when morning breaks, he shall go to the cross. Judas has just left the meeting. They are in the upper room. He has just broken bread with the disciples. He has washed their feet. And this is the night of his betrayal. Judas Iscariot has gone out to betray him after the Lord's Supper in chapter 13. And so here we find, look at verse 14, he says to his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And he says to them, let not your hearts be troubled. Well, why would their hearts be troubled? Well, because he is going to a place where they cannot go right now. He has been their Lord. He has been their master. He has been their teacher. For the last 3 years, they have seen him do miracle after miracle. They have seen him raise the dead. They have seen him heal the blind, cure the lepers. He has been their leader. He has been their comfort. He has been the one that has calmed the storm right before their very eyes. He is the one that has cast out all the demons from Legion. Here is one who they have known to be from the Father. Here is their one great leader, God himself in the flesh, who is about to depart. And therefore he says, let not your hearts be troubled. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. He will say to them, I do not leave you as orphans, but I will send you a helper, a comforter. Now if you look here, one of the disciples, Thomas, the verse 5, asks the question. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, we notice our Lord's reply. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, couched in these words, the Lord Jesus tells us who he is. I am the way. That's who I am. I am the way. And what he has come to do is come to give us life. Life is in him. I am the way, the truth. I've come to give you truth. I've come to give you life, eternal life. Now, notice these amazing, startling, personal claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. They truly are amazing, aren't they? I am the way. I am the exclusive way. And here, as we look at these words, it's not some prophet pointing ahead in time to the Messiah. It's not either an apostle who is looking back in time, the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's the Lord Jesus Christ himself that makes these amazing personal claims. They're not the words of a prophet, although Christ is prophet, priest, and king. But it's not the words of a prophet in the Old Testament looking to the New, nor is it an apostle looking back. But they are the words of the incarnate Son of God, his own personal claim. So we'll look at these tonight. The first I want you to see, he claims to be the way. Now, when you look at the words here, when he says, I am the way, the word there, way, is used in a figurative sense. Notice why he says this, because if you look at verse 3, the Lord has just spoken about what? Heaven. He has spoken about his Father's house. Look at the verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. So here in a figurative sense, the Lord Jesus Christ says to Thomas, I am that way to heaven. Because Thomas says, how can we know the road? How can we know the way to where you're going if we don't know where you're going? Lord Jesus, where are you going? He says, I go to prepare a place for you. In my Father's house there are many mansions. This is heaven. This is glory. This is the place that he left to come down to this earth to die for sinners. He is the way. And so therefore Thomas says in verse 5, he asks the question, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we then know the way? So he is the way. He is the way to heaven. And he is claiming to be that exclusive way. Now, when he says the way, what we need to understand is that he is all that is necessary for sinful men and women and boys and girls like you and I to get to heaven. He is all that is necessary for that. All that is necessary for us to get to heaven is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not found in any other person. He is the way to get to heaven. And all that is required is fulfilled in him. You see, by our own lives, we have failed. We failed to get in that way of heaven. We have broken God's laws. The Bible says all have sinned and have fallen short of God's glory. We've fallen short of the standard of heaven. But the Lord Jesus Christ, in becoming man, fulfilled God's law perfectly, perfectly obeyed it, perfectly kept every one of the Father's commandments. And what he did is he earned, as Paul tells us in Romans chapter 3, There is a righteousness. He earns a righteousness for his people. And that righteousness, his righteous life, is received by faith. And all of his righteous acts are credited, are, the Bible uses that word, imputed, are given to us, reckoned to our account. And so here he is speaking about how he is the way. He's going to heaven, but he's going to go by a cross. The Lord Jesus, in the next few hours, he's going to go to a cross. And there he's going to be forsaken of the Father on the cross. That's the way in which he is going to take sinners to heaven. By bearing their iniquities on the cross. By suffering in their stead. Now he must go to the cross. And then he must go to the tomb. He must be buried. He must be put into the grave. Remember, because he said, I am the resurrection and the life. And just as, remember how Lazarus was raised, the Son of God, God the Son, too, shall come out of the grave. He shall be resurrected on the third day, and he was. And then, according to Acts chapter 1, he would ascend up into heaven, and they would see him. His disciples would see him taken up, and up and up, enveloped, as it were, into the clouds, and go to heaven for his people. And that's the place where he's going. And here he says he is the one and only path. He is the only way for man to get from earth to heaven. And my dear friends, we need to receive this truth. The Lord says, I am the way. He's the way by his life, by his death, by his resurrection for his people. He's the way to God through the forgiveness that God gives through his Son. He's the redemption of his people. And the Apostle Paul tells us that we are accepted in the Beloved. You and I, young people, are not accepted by God on any other basis, but on the basis of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for us. Accepted, Paul says, in the Beloved. Now, secondly, I want you to see, he claims to be the truth. Notice, he says, I am the truth. Now we ask, what is truth? If you were to look up truth in the dictionary, we could say truth is something like this. Truth is an accurate statement of reality. You young people, maybe you've got younger brothers and sisters, or perhaps you're the youngest and you've had a fight, you've had a row, you've had a squibble with your siblings, and your parents walk in, mom or dad walks in the room, and you're at each other. And they say, what happened? And she says, he was doing this. And she says, he was doing that. And the back and forth. And your mom and dad say, right, let's establish the truth. You're saying one thing, he's saying another. But I want to hear the truth, they say. So what are they saying? They're saying, let's establish reality. This is what truth is, isn't it? They want to know the truth about what's going on, not what you're saying and what he's saying. I want the truth. Now, what the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here, I am the truth, is this. Everything that I have ever said about myself, everything that I have ever said about heaven and hell, is true. It's irrefutable. It's truth. Heaven is true. Hell is true. Do you know, young people, the Lord Jesus spoke more about hell than he did of heaven? If you don't believe in hell, he spoke more about hell than he did of heaven. He said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the door of the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And here I am the way, the truth, and the life. This is reality. Notice then his amazing claim, thirdly, I am the life. Now you and I, we may speak about life when we look at an animal and we see it breathing. And then it's killed by a hunter or by a lion or by a bear or something. And then it breathes its last. All the lifeblood is taken out of it. And then we say, well, the animal has no more life in it. Or when we look at a baby and we see it breathing and sucking on its mother's breast, we say, there's life. Or when we see an old person and they die in their bed, all frail, and they have no more life in them, we say, the life is gone from them. He or she has no more life. But dear young people, when we look at this verse here, when the Lord says, I am the life, he means far more than animation. He means far more than the life we understand. What he means is, he is the highest aspect of life. In other words, true life is to have fellowship and communion with God who sustains this universe right now. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ has. He is seated at the right hand of the majesty of God on high. And as Jesus Christ is very God himself, begotten, not created, he eternally proceeds from the bosom of the Father and is the Spirit. God is one, but exists in three persons. But this person is the sustainer of all things, animate and inanimate. And it's the great apostle John that says in the opening of this gospel, in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, you know those words, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life. He has made all things, and in him was life. And the life was the light of men. You can even go to his high priestly prayer in John chapter 17 in the verse 3. As he was praying to the Father, he said, and this is life eternal, Father, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, who thou hast sent. You see, the life here is knowledge of God, communion with God, eternal life with God. Rather than being separated from God for all eternity, to have life is to be a child of God and to know the favor and the smile of God for all eternity. To not have life is to not know his grace, to not know his favor, to not know forgiveness. What a horrible end that would be. I am the life. If you want that life with the Father, you must come through me. You know, the very knowledge of God and love is to delight in God. This is the very essence of life. And Jesus Christ can give us what our first parents forfeited. There in the garden, Adam and Eve had their fellowship and their communion broken with God in the garden. And it's been so for mankind ever since. And the mind of the natural man is against God. But the Lord Jesus said in John 10:10, I am come that they, that is my sheep, might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Or we have life here now, fellowship with the Father and his Son, the Lord Jesus. But we, dear young people, those of us who are Christians, will have life. That is, the Apostle Paul says it was unlawful for him to mention the things that God had revealed to him. No eye has conceived the things, or mind has conceived the things that God has prepared for them that love him. And so we see these amazing claims. They're coming not from a prophet looking ahead. They're not coming from an apostle looking back. But they're coming from God himself in the days of his flesh. Now, I want, as we draw near to an end, I want to show you two things about these claims. The first is that the Lord Jesus Christ is these things in himself. Have a look. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not that he's just saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life. But Christ is these things in himself. I am the way. It's in me. In his two natures, as God, become man. You see, this is the only way. Young people, please stop. You're intelligent young people. There is no other way that God could reconcile sinners to himself other than God paying the price for our sins. Because as we sing in that hymn, none was good enough to pay for our sins. God had to come. In his nature, he never ceased to be God. As God the Son, he never ceased to be God and man. As the God-man, he is, as Job tells us, the day's man. Even I am the way. He's not saying, I've come to make a way. I've not come merely to make a point about truth. Or I'm not pointing you to the truth. But I am the truth. The truth is in myself. I am truth incarnate. I am myself the way embodied. I am myself the truth revealed. You want to see the truth? Here it is. God become flesh. I am in myself life because I am the giver of life. I'm God. You want eternal existence with me and the Father? Here it is. It's in me. In Matthew 20, verse 28, we read, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life as a ransom for many. Not for all, but for many. And that's how he redeems us. But I want you to notice, secondly, he is these things exclusively. He doesn't say, I am a way. Does he say that? I am a way. A way, a truth, a life, and there are other ways, there are other roads. No, he is saying, I am not one among many, but I am the way, Thomas, Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew. I am the way. There is no alternative way. So he's not only these things in himself, but he is these things exclusively. In other words, nobody else could be these things. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Do you see the remainder of the verse 6b there? And since he made us, we must believe him. And these are unmistakable conclusions he makes about himself. And they are exclusive and they are staggering. Now, since he made them, we need to listen to them. Because all of these statements he makes about himself have profound conclusions. In other words, growing out of all of these claims, young people, there are conclusions that you and I cannot escape. When he says, I am the way, understand what he's saying. If you don't have this way, you are going to be lost eternally. So unmistakable conclusions grow out of these claims. Now, firstly, look with me. If he says, I am the way, then that way, the first thing we must say, is not in you. It's not in your good works. It's not how good of a life you live. God's going to somehow weigh up the good and the bad in your life. No, your sin of the past, young person, must be accounted for. God is a holy God and he must punish sin. What are you going to do about all the things that you've done wrong in the past? How are you going to pay for all those things? The Bible says God is of purer eyes to behold iniquity. The prophet Isaiah tells us that our sins have made a separation between us and God. The way to heaven is not in me. It's not in you. So apart from him, we are lost, even right now. In John chapter 3, verse 18, You know that well-known verse in verse 17? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. And then he went on to say that he that believeth not, that is in the Son, is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Oh, what a horror it would be to be everlastingly lost forever without a way to God. You know, when we die, it's too late. Jude in the New Testament speaks of those people that are lost as wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. You can imagine a star shooting across the skies, and it's going nowhere. It's going from this galaxy to the next, lost in the blackness of darkness forever. And there's a description of the soul that is not saved. To think that as I look at some of you young people, and as I look at your faces, you could be lost forever. We were hearing just in the news the last few weeks of this poor young girl that was murdered along the river banks. She was walking along the canal, and the murderer apparently butchered her, tried to conceal the body, and her body was thrown in the river alongside the canal. What a horror that must have been for her parents to discover that their little darling daughter was lost. A great loss indeed. But you know, hell would be the greatest sorrow, because all unforgiven sinners go there. And that's a sober thought. Might be a tragedy to leave this world in such a horrific way as to have your body cut to pieces, but for your soul to be lost forever. Such a tragedy. One wonders about this young girl. Was she saved? Was she saved? She believing in the Lord Jesus, because she has sins just like you and I. Now, it might seem insensitive to speak about her in this way, but dear friends, we could go in any way. We all have a catalogue of sins. And we need to go the way of the cross. Lord Jesus Christ dying for sinners and us putting our faith in him. That's the only way. And then he says, look, I am the truth. Now, today, we hear some scientists, or many scientists, really, they speak on TV and radio in their pride, in their arrogance, and they seem to speak of this world as a fact of being millions of years old. They speak about evolution, and they love just to pontificate and speak in such a way about the universe as if they are the authority of truth. As if they really have the truth. But I'll tell you what, they don't know the truth. The world is not millions of years old. We did not come from some microorganism. What made that? What has made this huge universe? God has made it. You see, behind all of their so-called truth is a heart that is enmity with God. The Bible says the carnal mind is enmity with God. They don't want to believe the truth. They shroud the truth with all their so-called knowledge. Well, it's not knowledge. And the Bible says, hear the scripture, young people, about the world, about such men, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. Their hearts are willfully blind. And you can be willfully blind against the truth. But the Lord says, look, I am the truth. And you better believe it. Believe it at least on the account of the miracles that he did. Believe he is the truth. Truth is not relative, young people. It's not what you make it to be. There's that saying today, people say this, truth is relative. Truth can be what you want it to be. No, that's not truth. It was Pilate that looked in the face of God incarnate, the Lord Jesus, and scoffed and said, "What is truth?" But he was staring God, the Son, in his face. Well, let me ask you something. If you question, is truth relative? That is, it's not absolute. Preacher, you can make truth to be what you want, and I'll make truth to be what I want. Well, let me ask you. Is there such a thing as sin? Well, you say, well, it depends on your standards. Okay, well, let's begin there. What if somebody was to walk into your house for no reason at all, just for fun, and was to butcher every one of the members of your family, your brothers, your sisters? Would you think that's right? Of course you wouldn't. You'd say it's extremely sinful. It's wrong. Well, let me ask you, how do you know that it's wrong? Well, God tells me in his word here that his law is written on your heart. You are made in his image. You are made with a knowledge of what is right and what is wrong. And you know and I know that we've done wrong. And that's the truth. And the truth is the Lord Jesus has come to seek and to save that which is lost. Down through the ages there have been the poets and the writers. Listen to them, what they say very cynically about the truth. Aldous Huxley wrote, "You shall know the truth and the truth shall make you mad." How cynically right he is. People get mad when they hear the truth about the Bible. Oscar Wilde said, "It is a terrible thing for a man to find out suddenly that all of his life he has been speaking nothing but the truth." You see, when you come face to face with the Lord Jesus, you realize you've not known the truth until you come to him. And ultimately, listen to Gandhi. He was a man that the world acclaimed. Gandhi said, "There is no God higher than truth." No God higher than truth. But Jesus Christ said, "I am the truth." What are you going to believe, young people? He says he's the way, the exclusive way. And you see, you've got to embrace all of these amazing personal claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're ever going to get in the way, if you're ever going to have eternal life, you've got to come to him who is the way, who is the truth, and who is the life. Because, hear me now carefully, they bear eternal consequences. Eternal consequences. You know what the Lord Jesus said in John 12:8? "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." He says, "I've spoken. And the way that you receive my word, you will be judged by it." In your hearing tonight, you've heard the word of God. You have had a far greater privilege than most people. But the Lord says, "The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him or that one in the last day." There is coming a day when we will have to stand before God. And you know, it's often been accused. Christians have often been accused. We've heard this. Oh, they say about the Lord Jesus, people in the world, "Oh, the Lord Jesus. Well, we accept his teaching. What a wonderful person he was. And He gave us the Sermon on the Mount and he's taught us so many wonderful things. But they say, the people in the world, it's the Christians we can't stand. Because the Christians are too narrow. We don't have a problem with the Lord Jesus, but it's his followers. His followers that say, if you don't repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll burn in hell. But my dear friends, have a look at these words again. Jesus Christ says, no man comes to the Father but by me. I think that's about as narrow as you can get. Don't have your gripe with me, but take it up with the Lord Jesus when you meet him in that judgment day. Or come to him now and bow to him as Lord and Savior. And he will put you in the way. And he will give you everlasting life. Look there, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, young people, as I close, not one person, not one in a billion, billion, billion people in the entire race on this earth shall come to the Father but by me. There's no hope. Here's the way. You must come to him. No one teenager, no one old man, no one old woman, no shaking old man, no shaking old woman can go to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is running out. Believe. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Ask him to forgive you. Become a Christian. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray.